Commissioners Court for Monday, April 27th, 2026 at 9 a.m. begins here.
All right, this is a meeting in Franklin County Commissioners Court. A notice of a regular meeting. 27th day of April 2026 at 9 a.m. here in the courthouse in Mount Vernon. We'll do our Scotty, maybe some water.
Sure. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day, for all the many blessings that you've given us. We're grateful for your love and your mercy, Lord. We pray that you just bless everybody, Father, that's been impacted by the storm this past weekend, Lord, all here in our county and all across our state. Pray that you meet people to point their needs, help people in recovery, rebuilding, and those who have lost loved ones and suffered damage. Pray that you bless people everywhere. And God, I pray for our state, our nation. We pray for peace in the Middle East. That conflict that's going on over there, we just pray for a resolution of that. And Lord, we just pray that you bless us this morning. I know we've got a short agenda, but I pray that you give us wisdom, understanding all the decisions we have to make. We ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Pledge allegiance. The U.S. flag first.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice
for all. Oh, Texas flag.
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
What was he? He got along. That's a good one.
Who was following who?
I don't know. I wasn't doing very good. I know that. Okay. Public comments in there. We don't have a crowd here today. Maxis, you are up.
Just so you guys will know, I got our local OSSF rules back from Austin on April 20th. This is my email copy. Everything's approved. We're official. It's in effect now. And they're sending a hard copy. My certified mail back to your office. You should have it any day. That's just for us to file. But everything's approved and good.
All right.
Good.
It only took 8 months, but we got it done.
Probably got it done.
Good deal. Very green, you won't be here, buddy. Anybody else? All right, let's go to agenda item number one. Consider and take action to approve minutes from April 13, 2026 regular session and April 15, 2026 workshop.
So moved.
Okay, got a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the ayes have it. Number two, audit claims against the county and authorize their payments. Chance, you're the man today.
Amount submitted for your approval is $220,436.32.
Okay. Any questions over that?
I move to approve the claims against the county and authorize their payments.
Second.
Okay, got a motion and second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. Number three, monthly reports. You got those? Okay.
For the month of March, the constable brought in $5,950, tax assessor $1,427.09, property taxes $251,415.10, county clerk $26,072, district clerk $10,100.40, justice fees $33,986.50, sheriff's office commissary $10,687.50. Treasurer's first quarter fees were $7,835.71. Library $719. And we earned interest at a rate of 3.67%. We earned $37,900.01.
Okay. Move to approve the monthly reports.
Second.
Okay, got a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Ayes have it. Number four, consider and take action to approve opioid settlement combines participation form. And I think we...
I have another blank page just to sign it.
Okay. I think we've already got a check for it, haven't we, Mark?
We get the check randomly.
Yeah, that's strange. I don't know how it works. I mean, we just cash.
I don't really know how it works. Just Chance will come in and say, and I'll say, looks like opioids. It's got a lawyer word.
So, this is just a release form so we can continue going forward. Government entity, identify the government entity in order to obtain a consideration of benefits provided by government. Y'all know that, yeah, it's just a form to do to keep going. Don't everybody jump at once.
I'm going to approve the appeal settlement.
Second.
Okay, got a motion, a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. Sign it while I'm here.
Is Robert coming?
Who?
Robert Moore.
Oh, I don't know.
He was supposed to come.
They never show up. They always forget about dates. All right, County Website Design and Hosting Company's presentation. Beth, you're up.
All right. So, you probably recall, I had told y'all about the ADA compliance and the history on that. Basically, they changed the date on when we have to be ADA compliant.
What is this?
I could hear something.
You're changing?
I thought my ears were ringing.
Is it in Paris?
Well, I got tinnitus.
Well, I thought that's what it was. I was sitting there thinking, I think I just developed tinnitus.
I thought it was late because that's all I ever hear.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. No.
Chainsaws and backhoes. And post-traumatic stress disorder. Tornadoes. Three tornadoes in 4 years. I'm serious. That's just...
Maybe you're the jinx.
You go ahead.
So the Department of Justice ruled that all counties' government websites have to be, it's WCAG 2.1AA compliant, but it's just web content accessibility. And so that started the thing with TAC contacting us in February and saying that, well, it wasn't TAC, it was CIRA. But anyway, they said that we're not gonna, our price is gonna go up because TAC will no longer subsidize. So I gave y'all a spreadsheet in there on the proposal prices. So, with TAC, they said 2027 is when they will no longer have the same pricing that we have right now. We can roll over with them. They will have to build a new website. Our annual rate will go to $9,550. And then the upfront cost to build the new website and migrate all of our information over would be $15,950. So I went out and actually talked to six other website designers and hosting companies. And I kind of narrowed it down to these last two. But when I talked to them, these are all the things that I kind of requested. We had to be ADA compliant. This date changed. They just changed it to 2028 instead of 2027. But we still have to make a decision for the first of the year. This TAC is going up no matter what. I asked them to, make sure it was easy to navigate for citizens, editor friendly for all of us that get on and upload content, more than one editor so that district court can upload their own dockets and county clerk can upload hers. I was looking for something that had the ability to grow just because there's not a lot that you can do on our website. It's, you know, you can't submit things through the website. Security, of course. Multilingual capabilities, since we have so many Spanish speakers. Support and training, conservative pricing. All of these have government experience. All of these specialize in government websites. So I'll come back to this in a moment, but I've got... One of the companies was GovStat, and they sent me the demo, but it's really about, the demo is more about like my end of it, how you program everything. I want to make the distinction though, the two companies I'm about to show you, they're not apples to apples, that's why the pricing is so different. This one, GovStat, is a modern website, and they, like, you can submit applications and forms. The next one will be informational, and it's basically the same thing that we have with TAG. It's got information, but you have to make a phone call. It tells you who to call, but you can't submit your applications online. So this one.
And that's between the government stats
and the device.
The difference.
But it's, like I said, that was more the demo for people that program things to show you what all you can do with their websites. But I have some examples of their websites too to show you. Let me see if I can get it on.
28 years of experience serving local governments exclusively, we at GHD Digital have refined our website rollout approach to focus on three core pillars. First, we build citizen-focused websites that prioritize accessibility and usability, ensuring residents can find what they need in 3 clicks or less. Second, we provide strong security and support through a human-first model and reliable hosting on Microsoft Azure. Finally, we prioritize design flexibility. Because there are no cookie-cutter municipalities, we believe there should be no cookie-cutter websites. This 10-minute demo provides a high-level overview of that design flexibility and our intuitive CMS solution. We begin here with the Prestige demo environment. Prestige is our most popular theme because it offers a clean, professional, municipal look that serves as a flexible starting point. Every element you see on this page, the banners, the icons, the text blocks, is a component. This component-based design allows for extreme flexibility without requiring any coding knowledge. Theme evolution allows our clients to start with Prestige, but know that they can move far away from the original look. For example, the city of Draper, they maintained a clean version of the theme, while on the other hand, Waukesha County used the same tools to create a little bit of a heavier home page with a little bit denser news feeds and split out calendars. With GovStack, you have total control. You're never locked into a design. You can launch with a simple layout and build a more robust custom page in the background over time if you wish. Now, when you log into the backend, the navigation on the left is going to mirror your website sitemap exactly, making it very intuitive, quick, and easy to find the page you need to edit. I also like to pause here and note that our system provides very granular user permissions to manage your team. First, you have access control. You can restrict users to only see and edit specific pages, such as locking down the department team to their own content. On the flip side, you also have approval workflows. You can grant implicit trust for immediate publishing or set up a review workflow where changes must be approved by a web admin before going live. If an error occurs, every page features rollback functionality to restore to previous versions instantly. Now, if I open a page to edit, editing a page is a drag and drop experience. Just drag things around the page. In order to help you avoid decision paralysis, we also provide a pattern library to all of our clients. Rather than building everything from scratch, you can browse pre-built visually optimized layouts, like collages or split screen sections, for example, and then copy and paste these directly onto your page. Every component has very granular settings. So for example, in the banner, you can change the height, you can add a video from YouTube, Vimeo, or upload it yourself, or apply color overlays for text readability and accessibility with a few clicks. We also integrate your brand during implementation. So your specific brand kit, including color and fonts, is always preloaded, so you don't have to manually enter hex codes every single time. Now, anytime you're making any sort of edits within the system, you have access to your preview environment. So any changes I make, I can click save the preview, and it's going to pop up in a one-to-one version of what your website would look like. This allows you to check your work without publishing it live to the public. Our responsiveness tester also allows you to toggle between desktop, laptop, tablet, and smartphone views. You can even actually customize how some of the components behave on different devices. So for example, choosing to have icons carousel on a smartphone to save space, even though they're side-by-side on the desktop version. This ensures a triple-click experience, regardless of the device that your citizens are using. Now, back into the back end. You can do on-page uploads. So when you're actually working within a page, you can upload photos or PDFs or videos directly while editing this page, not having to leave it and come back. And they will all filter back to the central library, which is your centralized media area. You can set up any and all folders in here to match whatever structure you would like. Now, on every single piece of media that lives in your backend centralized area here, you can click on the Info tab, and this is one of our most powerful features. It's what we call our usage tracker. So for any image or PDF or video, you can see a list of every page where that file lives, whether it's an active page or an archived page. If you try to delete a file that's currently live, the system will flag that in order to prevent broken links. Finally, the last thing I'd like to call out is we do offer something called reusable components. For information that appears in multiple places, like for example, a specific bylaw or department contact info, you can create a reusable component. That way you only have to update it in one central spot and it will refresh everywhere across the site automatically. Finally, Gus, that includes several built-in modules designed for specific municipal tasks. First and foremost, we have our web forms tool, which is very robust. They're WCAG compliant, accessible compliant, and mobile responsive. Our forms do support conditional logic. So for example, asking different questions based on a resident's previous selection. These forms can also trigger automated workflows, routing submissions directly to the correct department. We also offer a calendar with dual calendar views. So first, we offer a community calendar for events and a very hot, practical council calendar view. This council calendar view has a searchable table optimized for agendas, minutes, meeting recordings, completely customizable to whatever it is that your municipality has. Finally, our news and notices tool has what we call alert banners, both a non-invasive alert banner that goes across the top of your site, or we also have a very practical invasive alerts banner. So for urgent news like water main breaks, you can employ an invasive banner that requires residents to acknowledge this message before they can continue using the website. All in all, this is a very high-level overview, and while this overview provides a glimpse into our powerful tools, it truly barely scratches the surface of how GovStack can be tailored to meet your community's specific needs. We invite you to reach out today to schedule a custom interactive demo where we can dive deep into your unique challenges and show you the full potential of your future digital home. Thanks so much for your time and hope to chat with you soon.
So that is the behind the scenes for GovStack. I was going to show you a few examples of sites that they already have up for other counties and cities, and you can see how user-friendly it is for the citizens and some of the features that I really like. The first one will be Corpus Christi. Where's that one? Corpus. Okay, so since the beginning of all of this was over ADA compliance, show you how that works for the user.
So is there a special spot that someone has to click in order to be able to utilize the widgets, as they call it?
Yeah, so on, here, I'll cheat it. Let's go to Twins at Washika. Okay, for instance, this one, that's not a good example because that's the other guys. I saw it yesterday. Anyway, I'll show you all that in a moment. But the other nice thing was the translation. They just use English and Spanish. So when you click on Spanish, it'll change everything on the website to Spanish. So then the Spanish speaking can read and get information in Spanish.
Anybody that clicks over would deport them.
What'd you say?
No, not that. To repeat that. No.
I knew better. Thank you.
It sends out a signal to Washington.
Hernando County.
Is that in Texas?
What it is.
I have no idea.
Well, which one do you like the most?
Well,
maybe. You're the one that they do it.
I know. I mean,
you've got to figure out the pricing, right?
Yeah. I personally like GovStack just because.
Which one?
GovStack. So, this is the little icon that will be on the website for the accessibility. And then the user can go in and make contrasts to the colors. They can highlight things. It's whatever they need to be able to clearly see and read the website. That's what this is all about, with accessibility. They're trying to help people that have vision problems. There's even...
What about hearing?
Yeah, let's not show you that. So there's even one that is Jasper. This one's pretty cool with Jasper because they do.
Image, recite the accessibility and language support.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
So you can come up here, they have this toolbar and you can
page options.
I mean it'll read everything to you. So that's cool for the sight impaired. And then the hearing impaired, they, I don't know what they do.
Well, they probably can breathe.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I don't know if they have to do anything with the hearing.
No, you're probably not.
Yeah.
I can read.
What does that?
Stop it. Yeah. Crazy. Okay.
So does GovStack offer that?
They do.
At a cost, of course.
It's an add-on, yeah.
ADA too. But the thing about it is, on the annual rate, if we do a five-year deal, it's a total. It's $46.97 a year unless we do a five-year. Then is it the total $73.35 for 5 years?
Uh-huh. Because it's,
and it's $0 down for,
yeah, you're just putting that in with that for the 5 years. So you'll have to pay your annual rate. The $13,000 is to build the website and go live with it. So if you do the five-year plan, they'll just put it together and you pay $73.35.
Well, that's
every year for 5 years?
Uh-huh. And okay, then it goes down to the $4,900. The thing they did say is, because we have to have a website come January 1, they said they would start working on it now and defer payment until 2027, so they wouldn't invoice us anything. That way on the first, we're up and going. Yeah, the ADA toolbar is an additional fee, but the ADA icon where you can change contrast and highlighting and all that, that's free. That comes standard.
So how much was the hearing? Because I'm of the opinion if we're going to do this, we need to
do it all.
Yeah. So that was okay. So then revise is going to be basically what TAC is. It's just an informational. You go on and you can search. I like their design is the three clicks. That's what everybody tries to go to, so that you're not having to go through the side menu and then another side menu and then another.
Okay, explain three clicks. What does that
so mean? Three clicks is like if you are looking for.
It takes three
for
clicks
those
to get
those
where
that are
you
not tech savvy.
Yeah. So it would be
okay. You have to pull up one of their clients. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so Hood County, this is one of Revise's clients. Let's see. Again, here's the little accessibility icon. And then you can do the languages. So like if you want to know how to, you can click on that, how do I? And then you can come and find all these. And you should only have to click
three times to get where you need.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So it would be, I'm not going to go to that. But, like marriage licenses. And then you go down the issue. It gives you all the information that you need, but it doesn't have like an application or anything to file online. Mm-hmm.
So what do you have?
We could put a link
on here.
Because through my property software, we have the capability now of offering them to start their marriage license applications, request birth and death certificates securely. I have to use ID.me and all that to do it online. But we could put a link on the main
page to
that would link them directly to that to start any of those services.
The other thing with both of them, I double checked, and that there's unlimited storage. We can have as many pages as we want. RTAC is going to charge us more because we have like 50 pages right now, and so they would charge us additional fees for every page above that. Revise, like I said, it's basically TAC. It's exactly
just cheaper.
We can do right now with TAC, but it'll be a prettier template and easier to get around. They do have multilingual capability. They have an interest-free four-year payment plan for that $9,600 to develop it. Very secure. They both of these have been in business for 28 years. They both have clients in Canada, and this ADA business has been a rule for them for the last 10 years. So they have a lot of experience in the ADA. They have a lot of ways to help us. Like you can, if I post something later on, whenever they're, I don't need them anymore, if I went in and posted, you can run it through a little checker to make sure it's ADA compliant before it posts. And then, of course, the users have their little icon down there, too. So anyway, my recommendation would be either one of these, but it's just you're getting something different with each. And the reason that I lean more towards GovStax is if we went with them for a few years and then decided it wasn't enough for us, we would go right back to having, we'd start all over again. We'd have to pay that amount to have a new website built, or it may even be more in 4 or 5 years. So it's up to y'all, it's whatever you're looking for.
Yeah, annual rate. I'm looking at GovStack, $46.97 a year, or $73.35 for 5 years. So when you divide that by five, that's $14.67 a year. Is that right?
$73.35. It's the same price either way.
They're just allowing you time to pay for it. Yeah. It's a payout plan. The $73.
You just don't have to come up front with the $13,000. Yeah. They just put it spread out.
They add it to the annual.
It's a
five. So if we go with GovStax, we're looking at $73.35 annually for the next 5 years. No actual upfront cost.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah. They're just
and then it would go down,
after
the 5 years because the
your startup cost.
Yeah, it's done.
Your upfront cost.
How much did you say that? How much did the add-ons cost?
Did the what?
The add-on.
Add-on.
She sent me a.
I think it's $1,500 a year to add on the toolbar.
Well, that's definitely something we need to do. I mean, if we are going to be ADA compliant, I want to be ADA compliant.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
As much as possible.
Yeah.
And I'll be thankful to get away from where we are. I'll leave that at that.
Oh, I don't care. I don't care because it's about.
The other thing, right quick, is I'd ask because some of them, you don't actually own your content, so if you leave them, you can't migrate to your new. And so that was one of my questions I asked was who owns the content, and they said we do. We own 100% of the website data. And then if we did switch vendors, they would help us to migrate everything off that website into another. However, they said they have 100% customer retention, so we never had to do that.
Which one? GovStack?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And then Revise, I can still migrate, but it's manual. It's not done like bulk, like GovStack.
Like it's going to be going from tap to where it will be done.
You got one of the counties that uses GovStack. Go to their website. I know it was showing while I was on the presentation, but you got one of those counties.
Yeah.
GovStack, just to see what it takes to get, see what they have for, you know, like a marriage license, like you did on the
Well, really, what we'll do is we'll just link to her. How are y'all going? Is your company's going to be ADA compliant?
I will check the title on that because that's all through
2028. I don't think I missed another
year. Okay. This is one of GovStack's. It's somewhere in some other state. I think it's Wisconsin. But so, like, if you go to, they'll have. Okay. So, if you wanted to say,
look at property tax.
Property taxes, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll get it up.
So here you can go to there. I think that's just a link taking you to, like, it would take us to Melissa's.
Mm-hmm. Melissa has a government pay.
Yeah, but it tells you everything there. And then down here you can pay them. You can see when the due dates are, tax rate, property owner's guide, unclaimed funds. I'm trying to click on one of these and see.
Me too.
I'm getting dramatic.
That's it. That's in our discussion the other day.
So,
So can we get GovStax to come give a formal presentation to where?
Yeah, I told her we're not making a decision today.
Right.
And so she's in Clearwater, Florida or something.
Oh, that's the one you were talking about.
Yeah. She was one that she did send me the demo. They're just, I noticed between the two companies, Revise is older, like even the people that work there. And this is younger.
Are you telling me I'm old?
Well, I would say we seem to be a little more innovative and offer more services.
I already got that. That's my
enthusiastic about the website world than our guys was. I wanted to show y'all though, like how you can. Oh shoot, what I do with it. Let's see what Keisha. You can go in and do, like, I want to, when you click on that, say you want to, record a crime. You can click on that.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Crime Stopper.
Let's see. Permits and pass. I did that. Business. Anyway, so here you can just click on one of these to submit a tip.
I got Crime Stoppers all the way in Wisconsin. How cool is that?
And then you just fill out this online form that goes directly to them instead of having to make a phone call or bring home something and handing it to them in person.
How does that work now with Crime Stoppers? Do you know, Robert?
I don't have anything to do with Crime Stoppers. I think the only tip line we have is the online, and then it gets disseminated.
I have
who's
wanted that long?
Probably stopping Crime Stoppers. Yeah, I don't really know much about crime.
He's not a Crime Stopper.
So does it have a place on there like for road closure?
Yes, and there's one that I thought was really cool that you can do.
Is it a grant making business?
Let me show you this.
I think you can do just about anything, can't you?
Yeah, you really can.
Oh, they did have road closures on there. I've seen it on the left side.
On this one?
Mm-hmm.
Can you make
road conditions closure fine.
Oh, fine. Yeah, there we go. There were some that I looked at, I can't remember which county, that I thought was really cool, because on the commissioners, it would have Find My Precinct, and it had the map up, and then it told you who your commissioner was, and then each commissioner had their own page where they would say, these are the projects we're working on, these roads are closed, this will be happening soon. They put dates on, you know, when roads might be closed, and I thought that was a really cool thing too.
When they're doing repairs,
because a lot of my phone calls.
If you're unhappy, just call your county judge.
Well, I would say a lot of the phone calls that we get could be eliminated with the information. I know we have some people at home, but anyway, they just a lot of phone calls with people. They don't know who the commissioner is. I have to look at the map. I know what road they live on.
And pray it's not.
And then give them y'all's number. But anyway, so that's that. Basically, in a nutshell.
So would you have to go do training?
Yeah,
there will be training, but they'll come here to train as well, because I told them I don't want just me, I want each, like, district court, county court, tax office to be able to
each department.
Yeah, and that way it's more immediate. We're not having to, and that was another thing with Sierra. They were going to stop maintaining the website. Well, now for another fee, I'll talk to the $15,000 and $9,000, they will maintain it. But I like the flexibility of us being able to maintain it.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
You know, get to them before 5 p.m. on Monday through Friday, or else
Exactly.
Well, if it's something you want out there immediately, it's not always immediate when we email them.
Yes.
We have to wait for them to put it on there.
And sometimes they have to follow up a couple of times.
Yeah.
That's going to get out of hand.
And just to give you a synopsis of cost, right now it costs $1,500, $1,550 a year for Sierra. It's going up to the rate it's showing now in January, and they will no longer maintain the website.
Yeah, that's without them maintaining it. That's still with us maintaining
process.
I don't think they want to do it.
No, I don't think they do either. I think they're trying to get out of the business.
That's probably
Just to tell them how important I am.
That's me. I'm done, go on to the next agenda.
Well, I would like for you to set up one. I'm kind of like you, I think they're way more than five years than the.
Now, will they do the deferral?
Yes, they're going to do the deferral. So they would start on it this summer with me, and then we go live on January.
Okay.
Good deal.
So we just didn't bring it back on the next.
Yeah, we're going to let them come do a formal presentation, and I told her just to tell them to bring a contract with them.
That's on the
GovStack.
GovStack, yeah.
It's the younger people.
The younger people. I know what they're doing.
Young, innovative people.
All righty.
All over there.
Rob, you're up. This is consider take action to approve resolution to apply for BJA FY25 Comprehensive Opioid Stimulant and Substance Use Site-Based Program Grant. Did I get that right?
Yes, sir.
I'm like Senator Kennedy from Louisiana. Did I get that right?
So I brought a copy of the grant for y'all to share, basically.
Because it's like 36 pages.
But if anybody's going to read it. But I like all this reference material. The long and short of this is I'm going to ask you guys to approve a resolution that I don't have. The reason why I don't have the resolution is because this is a federal grant. I can't get into the system just yet. I have to get with Marla in Paris today to be able to access that. But just a quick background on what it is and what's happening. The sheriff wants to start a series of programs within the jail to help rehabilitate offenders. There's not a whole lot of, surprisingly, there's not a whole lot of funding out there specific to that. However, he did find this particular set of grants, and there were four or five options. There were a lot of different ones as far as how they could, how you could do it. But this is the only one that I found that actually works. Unfortunately for the sheriff, but very fortunately for Franklin County, it is not going to allow us to limit it to just the jail. The grant that you have in front of you is a $1 million grant for 36 months, and it would be applied for by the county to be administered by the county in order to establish a county-wide program for substance abuse treatment in general. Also, there are a couple other programs that are gonna be born out of this, one of which would be a jail program. So I'll kind of explain why I don't have the resolution for you and give you a brief overview. We found out about this grant 2 weeks ago, and it's due on May 11th. The funding announcement was released 2 weeks ago, and it's due on May 11th. So there's not a whole lot of time there to do what probably is a year or two or better of planning. But it is what it is. The grant itself requires that you establish this particular grant has a lot of different opportunities for it to support law enforcement and different things like that. But one of the things it does do is require or ask that you establish a program for treating both substance abuse of particularly opioids because of the opioid epidemic and fentanyl and all those things, but definitely any other drug addiction. But you establish a program where people can get free resources to help them. So we've kind of been scrambling over the last 2 weeks, but some years back, Dr. Latortu actually got a grant to establish a very similar program through the Rural Health Clinic. And then they kind of expanded on it. It was for the Tri-County area. Now, none of these funds would go outside of Franklin County, but they already have two prongs of the program that we could build on, which is actual mental health treatment, diagnostics through actual mental health professionals so that they can figure out exactly what mental health situation a person might have going on, and then free treatment, including medication through that, and then addiction counseling and treatment as well, which are comprehensive programs. With this grant funds, we would expand it just a little bit to also include education. and then push all three of those programs into the jail so that if an inmate so chose, they could take part in one or all of these programs while they're in jail, and then once they get out of jail, would be able to continue it with the same people. Like, for instance, I know the library has the GED that nobody uses. We'd like to take that over and allow them to continue like GED education, or possibly, if we can build on it in future years, college credit education. That would be at no cost to them if they would continue and maintain, you know, their sentencing requirements and all of that kind of thing. The sheriff and I went to Collin County last week, and saw that they have a very similar program. Of course, it's on a much grander scale because their jail has more people than Franklin County, but by a couple of thousand. But the program itself is functional and does work. And it's pretty easy to scale down because it's not super difficult. As far as the jail aspect of it goes, it's based on classification and jail standards, and there's a whole bunch of stuff that goes into that on our side. But as far as the comprehensive way that the program would work and can work, and I've talked to several other people who do this with corrections and then bump it over to the county, and it seems like their biggest problem is having to tell people no to people who want to like input programs into the larger program. Most people will do that, like NTCC, I already know, like they offer those kind of trainings to select groups free charge. That's kind of the 10,000 foot view of what we're looking to do. Like I said, the reason why I don't have the specific resolution is because this is through the federal grant system, which, I mean, we apply for federal grants all the time, but we do it through the governor's office, so they have their own little resolution format. It's going to be exactly the same or highly similar to the ones that the court has previously approved for grant applications. But overall, of that $1 billion, the three primary things that it will fund is roughly about $200,000 for the treatment aspect per year. And then in order for the jail to run it, it will require us one employee that will be, of course, a licensed jailer, but somebody who manages just this program and just those inmates. And then the rest, that's roughly 80 something thousand with benefits and everything, increasing by like 10% Marla, per year over the 3 years, so a 20% increase on fringe benefits over the 3 years. And then the funds for GED, because that's going to require computers and testing fees and things like that. The idea being that if somebody actually really does want help and wants to stop doing drugs and stealing, you know, cows and hay and everything else, that the county will provide a way for them to get it. That, like I said, in a nutshell, obviously I will come back and update you more as more of the structure of the program is outlined. But in order to move forward at this point, I need you guys to approve a pending resolution that I hope to have written by tomorrow, if I can get Paris to give me access to the system today. When she comes back. When will she be back? I thought she was back at
I think she must be sick.
I'll tell you in just a second. I got an announcement. Where is she at?
Okay.
All right, any questions? Can we go ahead and approve the resolution without a resolution?
Yeah.
I think so too.
He'll have it approved within 24 or 48 hours.
So. All right. Got a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Got a motion and second. Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Number seven, consider and take action to approve the renewal of Thomas Reuters Westlaw subscription. That's just, that's awful expensive for
$1,100. $900 a month right now.
It's going to go up to $1,164.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have a choice, really, on this, do we? I think we've got to by law, I think, my understanding.
Yes, they have to offer it to anyone.
Law library has to go to jail, I think, for the prisoners, I think. So.
I just paid for it out of the law library fund. It doesn't come out. It doesn't come out of the law fund.
All right, just need a motion on that one.
I move to approve the renewal of the Thomas River West Law subscription.
Got a motion and a second. Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. I didn't get a call from Paris, but I did get one from Kevin.
Hold on, before you say anything, is this something that can be public?
Yes.
Okay.
Paris is following law. They've called in hospice, and he is, I'm going to run over when we get to the third little meeting this morning. Rex is in room 314. Christus, if you need to go back, he said if you want to come by and talk to him, I figured you work with him. I'm going to go over there, whoever else wants to. But he said, I'll just tell you what he said. Update on Dad, we have made the decision to place Dad in hospice care after fall and April. Two strokes become clear to us. Whatever, I'll just keep going. But anyway, they've called hospice in, so basically said, if you want to come see him pretty soon. He's at Christus Sulphur Springs, room 314. The nursing staff advises anyone who wants to visit should do so in the next 2 days. Please say prayers for him. We love you and appreciate your support. So I figure that's where Paris is.
Oh, I'm sure.
So, that came from Kevin. So, I'm going to try to ease over as soon as we get to, maybe we have a meeting after this meeting for...
Policy manual?
Mm-hmm. For what?
The policy manual.
Policy manual. You going to be in here? Okay. Me and you going to be here. I guess that's the only ones that can do that. Rose, have there any discussion items? Anybody would like to discuss
something? Only thing, y'all got the taxable valuation.
Oh, yes, yes, that's right. Got that in.
It went up $185 million over the prior year, and of course that's prior to any ARB hearings or anything like that. Went up $262 million last year, so I think probably the difference is going to be the business property exemption that he told us would be between $40 and $15 million.
So we're over $3 billion mark now. Seemed like we just went over $2 billion
about 2 years
ago. And
the market value, that's not what we collect taxes on.
No, I know.
We collect tax on it, $2.6 billion.
And last year, $2.49
$185 million. And I have 2025 attached to try behind 2026. So you can look at it. 2024 was $2.2 billion, 2025 was $2.4 billion, and 2026 will be $2.6 billion. So, gives you a 3-year synopsis of where we are, were, and where we are.
Is what it is. I wish more people understood the way it really worked. They don't want us to know. The state doesn't want us to, don't want the public to know what it is. Anyway, I got a meeting tomorrow with state representatives and everybody, so it's going to be that good. Anything else?
Were there any county buildings that were damaged?
No, we just had some damage out at the ballpark a little bit, fell into the net, tore it a little bit. We're going to pull it off. We didn't think it was as bad as what it looked like. We couldn't figure it out. The roof on the little overhang over by the old jail came off. It's sitting in the parking lot out here. I did notice lots of tree. I was
kind of drive around the county and see where y'all cut limbs off. Y'all did a good job. Y'all did it fast, too. And
all that.
And I think there was a lot of civilians that went out and helped. I saw several paper tractors and chainsaws and went and cut down some roads. So I appreciate them, too. We're supposed to have one the next night, and it didn't pan out.
Thank
you. I'm waiting on that. Man, I thought if there was a tornado in my house. I mean, Winfield got hit hard. I got trees knocked down in my backyard and everything, but.
Walleye got hit
really
hard.
Has
power been restored south yet?
I should say, more hydrogen or whatever.
There's some Swepco still out. I was reading this morning, I think there's some Swepco.
It's kind of like you, when you was talking about trees blowing over and doing it, one road down there, they lost some oak trees. You know, don't get these little ones over here that don't, this little scrappy looking trees that gets a nice big old pretty.
3 foot.
My neighbor was counting rings on one of them. It was 60 something rings, so it was over 60 years old, big old red oak.
And then you have a plastic garbage dumpster that doesn't move.
Yes! One out in the middle of the road, but the next one right down the neighbor down there just still sitting there.
Insane.
Yeah, my dumpster there. That's a good point. My dumpster never moved.
There was
mine did.
Our neighbor's dumpster is still in the same place it was when the thing started. That's what we're supposed to have.
Well, the funny thing was the storm was coming out of the northwest, but as I was sitting in my house, all the wind and rain was hitting on the front of my house, which faces back south, and the tree that broke it. I had a rotten one that wouldn't go over, of course, that I wanted to go over, but my house right there by the pond, it actually blew it back toward where the wind was supposed to be.
All right. So all the oak trees that I was talking about was right down here getting close to Winfield, but they're all laying back to the west.
And whenever it came over the lake, we were in the closet, but the actual third tornado warning came out. And that's when they were saying I was in Franklin County. And when it was passed, you went and said they looked like they had that track just south, way out of the way. So, I mean, it's.
I think Winfield and Blodgett and Leesburg got the direct line up there, the hardest hit and everything, looking at it and everything. So, it is springtime.
I was going to say, I had a bunch of trees down right up here around little high chicken houses and stuff, so that's right where it went through.
Yeah. I'd be interested if the National Weather Service gets out here today or tomorrow to be able to say what it is and what it was.
Right now the Flinder, it's straight line winds. There was no tornado, and it started, I guess it would be east of where the sheriff's house is, where we were sitting. The sheriff was sitting on one side of 37 miles on the other, and it hit all of a sudden. It started about a mile east of his house and went straight down through, clipped the right hand side, or I guess west side of Winfield, and all the way down through the lake. But it was about a 30-mile stretch.
Did the one that came out of Hopkins County, I thought they had two different supercells, and the one that was originally hit Hagensport was moving east, and the one that's coming out of Hopkins County was like moving due southeast, like that. And the one that was tracking over Mount Vernon, they kicked the one out for the last tornado warning. I think it was probably about 9:45 or something like that. When it was all said and done, I was able to flip back on KLTV, and they just posted it. So, and they had two different storms that were moving like that.
It's kind of like just when you see a hurricane, when the National Weather Service comes in, they'll show you where a hurricane, the predictions, you'll show all the lines. none of the lines for this one showed they even hit Franklin County. They're all supposed to go north. And then all of a sudden, that thing, when it got up around River County, decided to go sort of one side. Mm-hmm. But they didn't have any actual emergency, you know, tornado warnings for listed through the National Weather Service. You know, that's who most municipalities, that's who they go with, is the National Weather Service. And that's who tells a lot of the radio stations. And ours, unfortunately, Franklin County comes out of Shreveport, where Hopkins County, I think, comes out of Dallas. Yeah. So it takes a little bit of time.
Fort Worth.
We're right in the middle right here.
I don't see that to be straight line winds, but my trees went right in the opposite.
That's what I was saying. I got a bunch of trees down
the straw. I was just saying,
majority of them are laying like they're facing south, but there's several that are east and west and northern.
My tree went north. And I was standing on the back porch waiting for my roof to come off.
We had power.
Just waiting for the wind to hit.
Yeah.
It looked like a war zone. I'm over there close to Wawa. It looked like a war zone right there.
You couldn't get, I mean, you know, Friday night, we were in Wawa trying to get roads cleared, but you had almost every tree that was down had power lines involved in it. So it's like, we're kind of a bad spot there.
So like, here's a map from the National Weather Service, and it shows that the line there showing where they tracked it, mm-hmm. the straight line with the 90 mile hour plus winds. And so it starts, like I say, up there by the sheriff's, cuts over by Winfield, down through, and then comes across their West Midway, Macon mm-hmm. area, cuts down through Leesburg, all the way down into Gilmer.
I was just saying, it kind of come across, and then it turned and went more that way.
And we were getting excited because at first that one at this Haggis Point, they said,
looks like it might be short,
it might be weakening or something. It didn't happen. You got across I-38.
The wind, when it first hit, it wasn't coming out of the north, it was coming out of the south. It was hitting the front yes. of my house.
We were out there at the Westwater by the sheriff's, and we were watching it, and the grass was blowing. One minute, the grass was blowing toward the east, and then all of a sudden it's coming. Going south, and then it's blowing back to the west. Mm-hmm. And so, and then about that time, the sheriff was sitting right across the street, and it went from pretty good visibility to actually zero visibility. Mm-hmm. And finally, I don't know if it's a standoff. We were trying to decide who needs to leave first. So I took off, and he took off. We headed back into our town. But you couldn't see anything. There was zero visibility.
I was watching Channel 7. He was driving up 37. I was talking to Max, and he was driving up 37 toward the ball right there at the airport road. And it started hitting him.
It was bad.
I was sitting in Tamales in Paris when it hit.
Ooh. Well, they got hit pretty hard.
Right? Yeah.
And that little community.
They come and ask us, do y'all mind moving to the center of the restaurant? Because we were sitting over against the line. I don't mind at all. Home, you know, I'm right behind it, and
because it was awful.
Of course, when I walked up on my back porch, phone ringing. Got trees down. I kind of figured. Yes, I'm headed that way.
I would say
6:30 the next morning, we got home. Got my first room.
All right. Anything else?
Moving to Germany.
All in favor say aye. All right, thank y'all.
Let's see what I need to say. Thank you, Scott.
Yes.